Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. And I just really want to big up Pastor Woodrow and Miss Francine and to give them some honor, special honor, for having us here. What Pastor Walker, in his humility, has failed to see is Pastor Bobby and Miss Marsha, along with our ministry in Jamaica, has made them our pastors. Yes. So I can say it for him because he doesn't want to say it. Yes. So Pastor Walker has now been formally made the pastor of Pastor Bobby and Marsha and everything that God has been doing in our lives. And that's part of this whole body connection. The previous covering that we had over us, Bishop Leroy Holmes, great man of God, covered us and our family and our children, the ministry in Jamaica, the nation of Jamaica. He poured into us. He passed on. The Lord took him home. And we really just want to honor the memory of him. And so about 5 years have passed, and we could not figure or see who could fit in that capacity that would be our pastor, someone that we could submit our lives to. Because we don't believe that we ought to be operating just there, out there, in ministry. We want to be connected. We want to be joined. And there are many men of God and women of God internationally that we have been connected to. But the Lord brought Pastor Walker to Jamaica. And something happened immediately. I said, Pastor Walker, can you be that man? And without hesitation, over lunch, before we were done, the answer was yes. Pastor Bobby, I count it an honor. Well, we count it an honor to be joined to you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And so we want to share our hearts with you. We want to download, we want to impact you, we want to pour out on you all the giftings that God has been setting within us. We want to be a blessing to you. That's why I'm here today. I shared yesterday that I am now just about 40, 41 years full-time in the ministry. And through those 40 years, God has passed me through the ringer. He has passed me through every trial and testing, and to prove me, to prove us, and to see if what we are is genuine. And after 40 years, I stand before you in humility to be able to bring a message from God as a messenger of God. And folks, I want you to receive me as such. I come to you as a messenger of God, and I want to speak a message. I want to deliver a message because I believe the Lord has given me a word for the body of Christ. And Pastor Walker has opened the doors to Atlanta for me to come here and speak. And so I'm trusting that we will hear God. I am believing God that every word I speak, I am only echoing what is in the heart of your pastor. I have been rubbing shoulders with him. And believe me, every word, there is nothing that God is speaking to me that has not been already embedded in that man of God. And so it's just that you're hearing it through a different vessel. You're hearing a different voice this morning. So today I'm talking to you on the theme or the topic of activating the church of Jesus Christ. Activating the church and releasing his gifts. Releasing God's gifts. And so there's a scripture that I'd like for us to to look at, which is a prophetic scripture in itself, from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, reading from about verse 14 downwards. It's speaking about the talents. It's a parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey." I would like to suggest that this is a passage that is speaking only of the end times. And it is talking about the church of Jesus Christ in her response to him, to God, in these last days. It is not solely, as so many pastors and ministers of God make it, where we only talk about money and how we can exact money out of people. But this is talking about God's people. And I pray God that I might be able to bring a revelation to the church of Jesus today. That this is talking about God's end time church being manifested in the earth and how we position ourselves with God. And he says, the kingdom of heaven, my people, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is going on a far journey. I want you to connect the dots. He's speaking about how we all fit into his end time program. Our master has gone on a far journey to prepare a place, to seek a kingdom. He says to his servants, "I want to gather you together and I want to impart something to you. I want to give you some stuff." One version says money. This version says talents. There are different aspects to this, but when it is all said and done, it is worth its value in gold. It is as solid as gold. It is riches that he's imparting into everyone. He says, "I'm going to give you some stuff." And it explains it. He says, to one, he gave 5 impartation, 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. And straightway, he takes his leave. And so something is beginning to unfold. And prophetically, the word of God says to the bride of Christ, "Occupy till I come. Do something with the talent that I'm giving you. Make good of yourself." Folks, I want to bring this thing together. Make good of yourself. Put to use the gifts that I'm giving to you. Do something with it for God's sake. Because when I come back, I'm going to call you into account. And as we follow the scriptures, and I want us to see the scriptures very clearly, that when this master comes back, I'm going ahead of myself here, but when the master comes back, he calls his servants into account. And so he's not talking about you as an individual having some money to go make some money. He's talking about, what have you done with your life? Thank you, Jesus. Straightway he took his leave and went on his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, I want everyone to just focus on this. It says, after a long time. Everyone say, a long time. Oh, yes. After a long time, it's prophetic. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Thank you, Jesus. And so, something is going to begin to happen here and unfold before us. Because, you see, a lot of us believe that it's just all about us in the here and now. But I would like to suggest to us that our long-awaited return of Jesus has some consequences with it. When Jesus returns, there is going to be a gathering together of all the saints before him. And there is going to be an accountability session. He is going to call every man, woman, and child into accountability to find out, what have you done with the stuff that I gave you? Thank you, Jesus. It says, to everyone severally he gave. So in as much as we're talking about one getting five, one getting two, one getting one, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about every human being present before God, past, present, and those who are still yet to come. Everyone must be presented before the seat of Christ, where he presides over every one of us, and he calls us into account. What have you done with your life? How did you put my stuff to use? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, and made other five talents. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained one other. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. One version says over many cities. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not straw. I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked, evil, slothful, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not straw. Thou oughtest therefore, at the very least, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone who hath shall more be given, and he that hath not, or he shall have an abundance, But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he says, cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, folks, I just want us to hear the heart of God as the Church of Jesus Christ begins to fulfill her place in him and how the end of time unfolds. You know, the story is told, Jesus himself, as a teacher, is imparting to his disciples, and one disciple, a rich young ruler, comes to him and say, good master, I love you. You are a great teacher. And obviously you're sent from God. I want you to just tell me how I can enter into eternal life. How I can embrace all these great things that you are imparting. And so Jesus looks on him. And he saw that this guy is very rich. And he's a young Jew. And he says to this young Jew, I tell you what. You want to partake in my kingdom? There's some stuff that I need you to get rid of. There's some junk in your life that doesn't sit well with me. And he says, I want you to go and sell everything. You see, Jesus looked into his heart, peeked into his bosom, and he saw that there were some other lovers. I'm speaking about the end time church. I want you to bear with me. I'm talking about God's end time people right now. And so we all come to him to love him and to serve him, and we want to do his will. But we have lots of stuff that we carry with us, and lots of other lovers that we have in our hearts that we latch onto, and we're not prepared to let go of. So Jesus looks into his bosom and he sees these things, and he says, I tell you what, go get rid of these things from your life. Go sell all your treasures. Give it away to the poor. Because you see, I don't want your treasures. I want you. I want you to hear something here. That Jesus is putting his hand on the young man. And he says, your stuff doesn't mean anything to me. You can't buy me with your money and all your wealth. And all that you have accumulated, I need you. And for me to get you, I need you to get rid of these lovers in your life. Go sell these things that you're living for, and your whole life is wrapped around, and this is all that you dreamed of. But if you're going to follow me, I need you to get rid of these stuff. And then you come follow me. Now, scriptures is a very sad scenario. This guy loves God. He wants to serve him. And he's a Jew. Now, he walks away, the Bible says, and he's very sad. Because somewhere in here, he doesn't see himself parting with his wealth. No, you see, the present day church is as one Jew to another Jew, Jesus to this young man. We love to barter and we want to build the kingdom of God. So you can just imagine, maybe the Jewish part of Jesus would run after him and say, hey, don't walk away so quick. We need you in the church. I'm prophesying here. We need you to be part of the church. We need you to make up numbers here. We need you to help to fund the kingdom that we can do great things. Hey, don't walk away so quick. You can't give everything. I'll take 50%. Because we're building church. For God's sake, we need you. So maybe he couldn't part with 50%. And Jesus didn't run after him and say, hey, just wait a little. Let's bargain. Let's talk a little bit more. 60, 70% will do. Jesus did not look back, didn't bat an eye at this guy. He watched him walk away. And he never called him. Folks, I'm trying to speak something into the end times here. Jesus never called him back to say, give me X amount, even 5%. Nothing. He didn't. He watched him walk away and said, how sad is this? Now, you see, he's pressing into the kingdom, but he has baggages. And Jesus is saying, but the end of time means 100% or nothing. You see, we can't buy God. And I'm going to go somewhere here. And maybe I should. Because there's a great lamentation about this one guy who took the treasure that God gave him, the master imparted to him, and buried it. Because he thought to himself, you know, what am I to do with this, with one bag of gold or one piece of silver or whatever it might be to him. So he buries it. But Jesus looks at him and says, the master looks at him and says, you worthless, wasteful, God-forsaken servant. You wicked brat. If you had even put the money in the bank, it would do more. You buried, you did nothing. You thought that for you to be useful to me, I need to give you all manner of stuff to make you look good. But all I needed from you was for you to just respond to me and acknowledge that I have invested something in you. And so you see how Jesus is responding to this one person. Can I take us to the scriptures a little bit, just as a little deviation? If we could look at the book of Malachi. Now I'm talking about the gifts that God puts in every believer. And every saint receiving gifts from God. But how we interpret the gifts make a big difference. And so in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, round about verse 8, the prophet says, can a man rob God? Are you following this? There's a little discourse here. What is the answer to this? The answer is, yes, bet your bottom dollar, you can rob God. He says, you rob me in your tithes and in your offerings. Let me make a point here. In your tithes and in your offerings, you rob me. The whole nation of you. So I'm not just talking about an individual here. The whole nation of you have robbed me in your tithes and in your offerings. I'm breaking the scriptures and I want you to follow me because I'm imparting something here. He says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, that there might be some plenty in my house, that there might be wealth in my house. And I want you to prove me. Now, folks, this is where many of our pastors go off the tangent. And we're tapping into our members to get your tithe. And so Jesus says, the prophet breaks it here. The word of God says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now. I want you to pause. Now, what exactly is the tithe that the prophet is talking about that the whole nation has been robbing God of? What is this tithe? What is a tithe? The tithe is the tenth part or the cream of the crop, the topmost part of your wealth. Now, folks, none of us bring to God all of our wealth or the topmost part of our wealth to bless God. So what the tithe represents is you. Thank you, Jesus. The tenth part, the cream of the crop, the topmost part of all of your income is not speaking about your money. It is talking about something that represents your sweat and your blood, that which you have labored for. It represents you. So your tithe is speaking of you. It says, bring you into my storehouse. Folks, you see, some of us believe that our money can buy God. And when you give your tithe, you paid your dues and you bought God, or you bought your way into his kingdom. Oh God, this is such error. But he says, bring yourself into the storehouse. Prove me. I want you to look at the word here, hopefully from the King James Version. It says, prove me now if I will not pour you out. If I will not open, listen, if I will not open you, the windows of heaven. You see, we have this thing all twisted up, that God is going to open heaven and pour out wealth upon us. He says, no, for God's sake, prove me if I will not open you, the windows of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And pour you out a blessing that cannot be contained. When you have given your one-tenth, your little pennies, your substance into the offering basket, and you walk away, you think you have done your good dues. Thank you, Jesus. But let me just tell you something. Your money passes after the bills are paid, and it has no more use. But you have life. You have health. You have strength. It is you that God is blessing. It is you that he pours wealth into. It is you. You will have the substance to pour into God's house again. He doesn't need your money. He needs you. Hallelujah. And if you are in the church for 100 years, you are God's blessing to the church. It says, if I will not pour you out, a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Which cannot be contained. Thank you, Jesus. It says, and the whole nation is going to be blessed by you. I need you to just see something here. That God does not separate you from your gift. God does not separate you from your gift. Lest you think your gift could put you someplace with God. It is you. It is you. How did you rob God? You forsook the assembling of yourself together. Thank you, Jesus, in the house of God, where God could speak his word into your life, that he could bless you. And you see, we mess it up. We think when the blessing of God came upon us, it was for us to look real good and nice. We could buy ourselves a nice car, a couple houses. Check it out. You know, those guys out there think we can even buy a couple more women beside our wives. And because money, you see, money mess up our brains. And we think money has something to do with God. God is the one who gives us the money. You are worth your weight in gold. It is you that God is bringing into the storehouse. Thank you, Jesus. It is you that he's bringing to him. And so when the word of God is in you, thank you, Jesus, he releases you to be a blessing. And wherever you go, he rebukes the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. For your sake. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't say he needs your tithe. He says, I rebuke every obstacle to your income and to your ability to earn, because I need you to keep pouring out. Hallelujah. I need you to be a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Are you getting this? It doesn't separate you. I'm talking about the church being God's gift, and he puts gifts in every one of us, because he wants to release us. Praise God. In the book of Ephesians, I told you everything I share is in the very spirit of your pastor. And I'm releasing some things, only that I might put it in a different perspective. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 4, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. Round about verse 7. Glory to God. Ephesians. Let me find Ephesians here. Praise God. Chapter 4. Verse 7 says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Can I just say something? Say every one of us. Come touch the person next to you. Touch somebody next to you and say, he's talking about you. Every one of us is given grace. Say grace. According to the measure of gift of Christ. Now, I'm not talking to unsaved right now. I'm speaking to those who are called of God, who are the elect of God. I'm speaking to saints right now. Cancel the word church folks. I'm speaking to believers. Amen. He says, unto every one of you born again and who is a partaker of me, he says, I will give you grace. Remember, the master is going on a far journey and he gives some stuff. He says, severally to everyone he gives some gifts. So he says, to every believer in God is given grace according to the measure of Jesus. Can I just tell you something? Every one of us have a different measure of Jesus. Yeah. Oh yeah. We don't all have the same measure of Jesus. Yeah, we are all saved. I'm not questioning your salvation here. I'm speaking to saints now. I'm saying every one of us have different measures of Jesus. The measure of Jesus you have is his gift to you. Oh God, it is his gift to you. How far you go in God is determined or dependent on you. Praise God. And it says, know that he releases his grace upon you, and the measure of Jesus is given to every person. We are all having a bite size of Jesus here now. He says, what is it? That he descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he did some miracles. He met with some people, and he released out of captivity all the saints who were in captivity. Now, you might not have realized that back in the day, in the Old Testament era, the saints of God who died went into a holding compartment in hell. A compartment of hell where all the saints of God were held. No one went to heaven. And so Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth and he took the keys from Satan, from death and hell. And he released all the saints of God out of hell. And besides that, there were others who never knew about him and never understood the message of the kingdom. And he preached to them in hell. And many believed in hell. And he led captivity out of captivity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And led them into captivity, into his kingdom. Praise God. And he says, what is it that he ascended up on high and he gave gifts to men? No, you see, pastors, forgive me. We all lock into the gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. And we talk about the fivefold ministry. But I just shared that every saint of God was given a gift. Thank you, Jesus. Every saint of God. Let me change this. Every saint of God is a gift. Praise God. He says, and he poured out from heaven apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers as gifts. Look at it. He did not pour out the apostolic ministry. He did not pour out the prophetic ministry. He did not pour out the evangelistic ministry. He poured out people, individuals. Praise God. And he says to those individuals, your job is to unearth my gifts that are locked into some earthen vessels. Yes, those ministries, their job is to release the giftings of God. Hallelujah. In the body. Praise God. In the body. Yes, that every individual in the body of Christ would discover who they are and what they are meant to be and what is your purpose. That they, being the body, hallelujah, would grow up into maturity, would stop being immature little brats crying over your little stuff. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of us, we put our tithe in the plate and we want to call the pastor into accountability to see what he did with my tithe. Thank you, Jesus. But the pastor's job is to release you to be God's gift. Hallelujah. Thank you. To release you. Come on, touch the person next to you. I need you to prophesy to somebody. Touch the person next to you. Touch her, shake her, say, wake up, wake up, wake up out of this sleep. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. We're releasing God's gifts in you that you will fulfill your purpose, your place in God. Are you hearing this? Thank you, Jesus. So the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers of God and the pastors are here to unearth God's blessings. Hallelujah. Verse 16, Ephesians chapter 4. My wife spoke of it. Read it for me. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. We're all participating now.
Okay, wait. I'm trying to find it with my eyes. Okay, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inward man.
And no. Ephesians chapter 4. Come, I think somebody stole hers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Now, I want you to read from there, not up there, no.
Okay. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the effectual working of each individual member. How do you think this all comes together? It comes together because the man of God is released as a gift into the body to release you, hallelujah, into purpose. Thank you, Jesus. No, it is not about the apostle. It is not about the evangelist. It is not about the prophet. It is not about the teacher or the pastor. It is about the body. Thank you, Jesus. These gifts were released among the gifts of God to release God's gifts that are locked into earthen vessels, to release them. There are treasures locked into earthen vessels that God must release. That as a body, not as an individual, but as a body, we're going to create impact in the earth. Touch the person. Grab the person next to you. Hold your hand. And say this for me. Verse 16, the body. Come on, work with me. The body is held and fitted together by that which every joint supplies. Come on. What is this saying? It says the body is no good without you. Cross-culture church is going nowhere unless you find your place in the body of Christ. The impact that this church needs to have on the greater Atlanta area cannot happen until every individual begins to find their gift in God and play your place in the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You're not some mystical attachment to the church. You are a part of the body. Work with me. Preach with me. Say, the body is held and fitted together by that which every joint supplies. Shake yourself now. Say, I'm a joint. No, the body is held and fitted together by every joint supplying. That means I need you. I need your gift. I need you to be what God called you to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this church cannot go anywhere until you become what God has called you to be in the body. Thank you, Jesus. And the body is held. Grab the person. I need you to connect. Connect now. Hold the person tight. Connect. Put your hands there. Hold them. We are joined. The body is held and fitted together by that which every joint supplies. Praise God. That brings maturity in the earth. That brings purpose in the earth. That brings about the fulfillment of God in the earth. Jesus cannot return to planet earth till the body says, come. Until the bride says, come, Jesus cannot come back. So he's speaking. He's speaking to the body. Get it together. 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 Hallelujah. We need you to connect. As a joint, you must supply. You must find out what your purpose is in the body and supply. Apply your strength. Yes, it's not your money. It's you. Pastor Walker might not want me to preach that. But can I say it again? God is not interested in your money. He wants you. And if he has you, he has your money. Thank you, Jesus. Can we look at another scripture? We need to put some scriptures together. 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Chapter 10. Now, I need you to help me. Come on. You're the preacher man. Verse 17. Let's pick it up at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You go to verse 17 down.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body.
Stop. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody to say the word of God. Say we. Being many, we are one bread. Let's say it again. For we, being many, we are one bread. Let's say it again. I want you to get this in your spirit. For we, that's all of us in this room, being many, we are because. Come on, I want the preacher to preach. Because.
Because.
We are all partakers.
For we are all partakers of that one bread.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm talking about, can you get this revelation here? Yeah. Individually, God is interested in your salvation. But right now, you're not an individual. You're part of a whole. And he's not talking about you and your individuality. He's talking about the loaf. It says, you're only saved because you're eating from the loaf. Are you getting this? It says, yeah, we all bite into the loaf. It says, we, being many, we are one bread, one body. Because we're all eating from that one bread. Thank you, Jesus. The next verse says, behold Israel after the flesh. I want you to learn a little lesson here. It says, are they who put the sacrifices on the altar, are they not partakers in the sacrifice? Let me talk to you a little bit about salvation and tie it back to the Old Testament. When Israel brought your sacrifices to God in the temple and laid the sacrifice on the table, the sacrifice was to make amends for their sins and was to make an atonement for their lives, to make them right with God. For them to be right with God, the sacrifice was good, but they had to kill that sacrifice and they had to put it on the altar. Not only that, they had to burn the sacrifice. Hear me now. They had to burn the sacrifice. And when they were done, they had to eat the sacrifice. You know what is happening here? It says, behold Israel after the flesh. Those who do the sacrifices on the altar, do they not partake of the sacrifice? What am I saying here? It says that you have to be one with the sacrifice. Your money don't buy God. You have to be one with the sacrifice. You have to eat the sacrifice that you're putting on the altar. So when you bring your tithe, if your tithe is not you, then you are not a full partaker of what you're giving to God. Your gift is amiss. Your gift goes nowhere unless you are one with the gift. You have to eat. That's why your gift is the sweat of your brow. Yes, it's your blood. It's your effort. Your gift must represent. You see how I'm tying this thing together? Yeah, I'm talking about breaking bread. Oh, yes. But it is talking about your salvation. Oh, God. And it is talking about you being a partaker of the whole loaf that you might find relevance in God. You have no relevance in God if you're not eating of the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Can I take this a little further? Can I take this a little further? It says the cup, read on, the cup of blessing that you bless. Is it not the blood of Jesus? Come on, and can I speak some things into our spirit? The cup of blessing, that's the communion wine I'm talking about. The cup of blessing that you bless, is it not the blood of Jesus? So you're now partaking of the blood. You must be one with him. It says the bread that you eat, is it not the body of Jesus? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's look at this thing. It says, am I saying to you that when people give an offering to idols and to the heathen give their sacrifices, is it anything? So no big deal. But what I'm saying to you is, when a sinner man comes to church, listen to me, church, because I have to speak into the spirits of everyone. When a sinner man, when a person who is not eating the bread and drinking the blood of Jesus, if you're not a partaker of the body of Christ, you're none of his. It says, but the heathen comes to church. The heathen comes to church and he gives his gifts. But I would like you to know, read it. It says, the gifts of the heathen is to the devil. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. And I would not that you be one with devils. I need you to discern the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I can do an altar call here, folks. Because, you see, there are a lot of us who thought we were in the right place. But you're not in the right place if you're not eating. Thank you, Jesus. If you're not partaking in his body. Yes, Jesus said to his disciples, if you don't eat my body, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you are none of mine. I am speaking the same prophetic word to you, that for you to be who you need to be in God, you need to be partaking of him. And when you partake of him, you become one with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You become one with Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so you now become the offering. You now become an offering to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm putting it all together. Praise God. So, folks, when you break bread for for God's sake, I need you to understand you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And I don't make excuses. Don't come to church. Forgive me. I'm not talking about communion. I'm talking about the body of Christ responding to God. Don't come to church and say, oh, I sinned today so I can't break bread. You are a partaker of the body of Christ. And we all sin. You need to eat the body. You need to drink the blood to be part of him. Don't make excuses why you can't partake of him. That's the devil. And so many of us excuse ourselves from breaking bread because we sinned last night. Are you a believer? Are you a partaker in his body? Are you partaking of his blood? Well, for God's sake, bite into the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Come, tell the devil that he is the liar. You are who you are. You are a saint of the Most High God. You are blood bought. Yes, his body was broken for me. And I don't care how much I sin. It is his work that is ransoming me and making me whole. We, come on, preach it. We, being many, come on, say that. We, being many, we're one bread. Because we all are partakers of him. Thank you, Jesus. And I would not that you be partakers. Don't fashion yourself off of any unbeliever. Separate yourself and know who you are in God. Are you hearing it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, praise God. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, their job is to equip the saints, to give them revelation, to get them to understand their place in Christ, that they might become who God wants them to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because he wants to call us into account for what we have done with our lives. Whether it is for good or for bad, he's going to call you into account for what you have done with your life. You are a gift. Can you say that? Come on, prophesy. I am a gift from God to this earth. Yes. By his grace and the abundance of Jesus in my life, I am a gift. Praise God. In the Gospel of John. Now, you know, I've left my notes up there, eh? Because this thing is so much a part of me. I'm consumed with this word. So what I'm delivering to you is in me. It's not in a book. It's not on a notebook. It's in me. I am the gift of God that is being revealed to you. And I want you to hear God. In the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, I want you to just spend a little time. And I promise you, I'll be done. I'll be done quickly. John 1 and verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. A capital. Okay. And the Word was with God. And the Word, hallelujah. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Verse 4, I think it is, says, in him. Everyone help me here. Say, in him. That is in who? In the Word. Come on, I want us to, that's in God. In the Word was life. I want us to follow the scriptures here. In him, that's in the Word, is life. Come on, can I say that? Thank you, sir. Let's say it again. I need you to, I'm a teacher. I want you to get this in your spirit here. Say, in him, that's the Word, who is God, is life. And the life became light to men. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pick on you. Is a reason why you're so big. And come on, put that thing out of your hand and come stand with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tell me your name again.
Osa. Osa.
Osa. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You're a man of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Declare it. I am a man of God.
I am a man of God.
Oh, let them know it. Yes. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. And the Word was life. And the life became light to men. So now, tell me that name again.
Osa.
Osa. Osa becomes a man of God because the Word of God enters his heart. Thank you, Jesus. The Word of God impacts his life. And the Word which is life becomes light in him. Now it says, and the light shines into darkness. Now, please let me just break the Word of God. God in heaven is not on earth shining in darkness. It is the Word of God that has impregnated Osa and has become life in him that is now light. And the light shines into darkness and confounds the darkness. Come on. Now, which light is shining in the darkness? Talk to me. Which light is shining in the darkness? Say Osa. Come on, turn around that the people can see you, sir. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It is Osa that is shining. The Word is in. And the Word is life. And the Word is light. And Osa becomes light. Osa becomes the gift of God into the earth. He is light. Come on. He's light. Thank you. And the light is shining. Come on, take your time and walk to the back and come back for me. Osa is walking in darkness. Thank you, Jesus. And wherever he goes, say light shines. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're not ashamed. Come on. Yes. Yes. He is God's gift of light to the earth. And God is not coming down to shine if Osa does not shine. Praise, come on, come on, come on, come on. If Osa refused to shine, God has no witness in the earth. Matthew chapter 5, help me quickly. Matthew chapter 5, stay with me, Osa. Yes, I like the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, I need some people to read with me. You can read with me? You don't want me to pick on you? Come on. Who wants to read for me? Matthew chapter 5. I'm bringing revelation from the Word, eh? Yes, sir. I see your hand. Matthew 5. Praise God. Verse 13.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his place, savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
Pause right there. Talking about light. Now the scripture says you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its effectiveness and its ability to be salt, what is the purpose of it? But to be trodden under the feet of men. It's good for nothing. Can I make a bold statement? An ineffective Christian is good for nothing. I'm a prophet of God and I need to call it as it is. If you are salt and you're not impacting anything, come on, you're not savoring or influencing anything or anyone, you are good for nothing. I'm unearthing some gifts here, folks. I'm speaking some gifts into being. It says, if you're salt, be salt. Do something with your life. Make your life meaningful. What does the next verse say?
You are the light of the world. Oh my God. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden.
It's possible. The Word is life, and the life has become light. and the light shines into the darkness. Now hear me, folks. It says a candle was never brought to be put under a bench or to be hid under a table or to be put under a bed. Pastor Walker, will this chair break? Maybe we shouldn't test it. Don't test it. Come up here. Yeah, this won't break. Yeah. But a candle that is lit was meant to be put on a candle stand and show to the whole world. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, I'm light. And I was not meant to be hid. Can I tell you, there is no place in God's kingdom for church folks who warm benches. There is no such calling of God being a bench warmer. Because some of us think, oh, my only call is to go to church. It says a candle that is lit was meant to shine. Read the scriptures it said for me. It says, let your light so shine. Come on, I don't feel it. Come on, read the scriptures. Say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Pause. It didn't say join the church and be in church every Sunday. No, it says your works. Thank you, Jesus. It says your works. If Osa doesn't shine and his light is not his preaching, folks, let's get this thing straight. It's not in the abundance of his words and his preaching. It is in his life. Yeah, it is in his works. It is what he does. Thank you, Jesus. And the things he do is what men see. And they glorify God. I'm qualifying Cross Culture Church. I'm qualifying this bunch of people seated here that we might know that God has selected us not to be church folks, but to be light on a candlestick, shining for the whole world to see. Come on, prophesy. Say, I am God's light, shining in the midst of darkness, and I will confound it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Not done with you yet. Not done with you. Yeah, man. Let's follow the scriptures. Thank you, Jesus. And so the word becomes light, and the light enlightens him, and he begins to shine. Praise God, for the whole world to see. Remember, I said an ineffective Christian, a Christian that is not salt, a saltless Christian has no place in God, has no purpose but to be trodden under feet. The very next verse says, let your light shine. Stop hiding. A light was never meant to be hid. Stop hiding. I need your gifts. I need you. I need you to shine. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I can transform all of Georgia if I could just get you to become what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. And shine. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 6. What does verse 6 say? John 1, Gospel of 1. What does verse 6 say? Okay, let's go back to the good old book. Bible in hand. Oh, no. You've missed it completely. We are the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Oh, yes. What does verse 6 say?
There was a man sent from God whose name was John.
Stop. You might not know how to connect the dots, but we're talking about the Word who is God, that is life, that has become light in Osa and has enlightened him. And Lo Osa is now shining before all men that they might see his good works and glorify God. Give me a hand, Osa. And then all of a sudden, from the same scripture, it says, there was a man who comes from God, whose name is Osa. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we know John's mama and papa. We know Osa's mama and papa. But the Bible does not define Osa by his earthly parents. It defines him that Osa is here from God. Hallelujah. He is on an assignment from heaven. Osa is God's gift to the earth. Oh yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And God sent him as a gift. He is light in this earth. He is salt in this earth. He is God's plan for this earth. He is God's man for this hour. He is God's gift. Put your hands together for Osa. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm speaking to everyone in this room. It says, you are on assignment from heaven. And you are God's gift to this earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I thank God that I'm not taking an offering now, eh? So I can talk about money. You are worth your weight in gold. I'm putting value on you. Yeah, God values you. He values you. Yeah, you are rich. And he wants you to be rich, because when he releases you, he opens the windows of heaven. Yes, you are on assignment from heaven. And he says, I will open you the window of heaven. Can I say that again? I will open you the window of heaven. Say, I am God's window of blessing to this earth. Hallelujah. I need to close. Thank you, Jesus. It says, every one of us who come to God, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 downwards, 1 Corinthians, it says, I'm closing. It says, I'm speaking only to believers here. It says, there is no other foundation that you're going to build on except that of Jesus Christ. So what I'm giving you here has to be laid on the foundation of Jesus. The sad thing is, some of us build on the foundation of faith. Remember, every one of us is given a gift according to the measure of Jesus. But the sad thing is, some of us build on this foundation with wood, hay, and stubble. But that's not God's will. Now, please hear me. Upon the foundation of Jesus, we build with all manner of stuff. Upon the foundation of Jesus. So I'm talking about you being a believer. I'm not talking about unbelievers. Believers come to God with all manner of junk. And we try to build God's kingdom based on what we have in us. I'm closing now. What we have in us, we bring it to God. It says, and some will build with gold, silver, and precious stone. It says, every man's work, remember, I'm speaking only to believers, and every believer is going to be called into account. Now, it says, at the end of time, every man's work is going to be tried and tested to see what manner of work you built with. And if you built with wood and hay and stubble, the fire shall reveal it. It will be tried by fire. And if you built that which was not profitable, it is going to burn. And you are going to suffer loss, but you're still going to be saved. I'm talking about when we come before Jesus to give an account for our lives. It says, and if you build with gold, silver, and precious stone, when the fire comes, you come out looking better. Hallelujah. You come out looking better. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And God, at the end of all of this, is going to be glorified because of your works. It says to see what manner of works that you performed. So you see, I'm coming back to where I started. What is the gift that God gave you? And what are you doing with it? Says, fire is going to come and try you to see what you did with your works. Hallelujah. And if you suffer loss, it is to your shame. You will enter the kingdom, but you might not wear a crown. Are you hearing this? Praise God. I want to release us. I really want to release us into God's blessing, that we might be God's blessings over this whole earth, over this whole nation, over this city, that we might find our place in God and fulfill our purposes. I close. Pastor Walker is not your God. Pastor Walker is God's gift from heaven to release you into your gift. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can I say that again? Pastor Walker's job is to release you to find your place in God, that you can connect in the body, that together we can create damage. There's a whole lot more, but I want to stop right here. Praise God. The church is God's end time plan. And the church is going to come forth altogether glorious. If you could just hear this message today and know who you are in God. Can I just pause a little bit and ask, if you are here And you're not a partaker of that one bread, if you're not a partaker of Jesus Christ, if you have not eaten his body, if you have not given him your 100% and drink his blood, then you are on the outside looking in. And I would not have you to be here and walk away and not have an opportunity to say, God, you know, I need to make sure that I'm taking a bite off of you. Praise God. So bow your heads with me right now, everyone. Hallelujah. And it does not matter what sins are in your life. I want you to put your hand on your body. Just put your hand on your chest and say, Lord Jesus, help me that I might be a partaker of your body, of your bread, of your body. Lord Jesus, fill me till I want no more. Make me to eat you today, Lord. The prophet says he gave his word and you ate the word. Lord, I eat. Say, I eat your word this morning. that I might find life. In the name of Jesus, come into my heart, Lord, and be my Lord and my Master and my Savior today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So, if you are here and you, for the very first time, are taking of the body of Christ and saying, Lord, I want to eat you. I want to be saved. I want to be part of you. And you made a decision to give your heart to God today. I want you to stand. I'm not talking to Christians now. I'm talking only to anyone who for the first time saying, Lord, I am going to eat of you and I'm never going to look back. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I have no apologies for this section here. This is where we make it right with God. Amen. It's either we're in or we are out. There's no one standing. And I'm not going to belabor that point. Is there anyone who wants to say, I just prayed this prayer to give my life to Jesus? Going once. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is good. Pastor Walker, come. Thank you, Jesus. It means we're all where we need to be. Amen. And we're going to find our place in God.